actually had another message today, but the Lord wanted me to kind of share some things from last week and kind of expound on some things a little bit further. And so we're going to be talking again about the law of sowing and reaping. And so we find that in Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 through 10, it says, "Let him who's taught in the word share all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of his flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap life, everlasting life. And let us not grow weary in while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." In other words, we don't quit sowing. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. And so we talked about last week, just as a review, and I'll cover some of the scriptures, about the parable of the sower. And if you, as you remember, Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, verse 13, "Know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables?" And verse 14, Mark 4, 14, he says, "The sower sows the word." Everybody say, "The sower sows what? The word." And, and these are by the wayside, and he gives us four conditions. Where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh the word that was sown in their heart. So we know the word gets sown into our hearts, but the devil comes to bring it out in this first soil condition. And then we find in verse 16, "Likewise, these are ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness." So they get excited about the word in church. And they have, verse 17, "And they have no root in themselves, so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they stumble." Because persecution comes because of the word, not because you're all that in a slice of cheese. We should expect tribulation and persecution. It's coming because the word's in you. Why is it coming? To get the word out of you. To get you to transfer your belief system from the word to problems, pressure, pain, and take it off the word. Because the word is designed to produce fruit and bring a harvest into your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 19, "Now these are sown among thorns," are the ones sown among thorns. "They are ones who hear the word," Mark 4, 18, "and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." Because, verse 20, "But these are the ones sown on good ground, who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, how many want to bear fruit for the Lord? Now, I believe that's everybody. Amen? Well, this is how you bear fruit. The interesting thing that Jesus gives us here is in these four, one out of four conditions produce fruit. So it's imperative, it's important that each and every one of us understand and realize that we've got to take care of our own heart condition. Because we can preach the word, but if your heart's not right, the condition of the soil is not right, because we know that the word is the seed. The human heart is the soil, right? But you and I are the person who has to take care of the soil. The word of God is not a page from the Bible. Y'all know that. You know, again, unless the laws of metaphysics and physics change, I can't put a page off this sheet into Pastor Cynthia's heart. Nor can I shove the Bible down and put it in your chest cavity, right? So the Word of God is what? an idea. It's a God idea, a concept, a perception of reality based on the truth of God's word and who you are in Christ. Amen. By his stripes ye were healed. That idea didn't originate with you, nor with a man. It originated with God. It's a God idea. It's a God concept. By his stripes ye were healed. Well, that gets in you. Amen. So you gotta make sure that those seeds are there in your heart. Now, we said the soul is a human heart, and we said that the wayside ground was ground that there is a lack of understanding or a way or manner of thinking that was not right. And so we know, because that wayside is the Greek word, hodos, which means a way or manner of thinking. And in that ground, no fruit was produced. So if I think wrong, I'm going to believe wrong. And then I'm going to talk wrong. And then I'm going to do wrong. Amen? How is your thinking wrong? Because you are still holding on to your idea. Unfortunately, 20%, 80% of people hold on to their idea about money and tithing. I'm just putting it flat out plain. We got 25% that embrace God's idea of tithing and giving. I think if we can argue God, we'd still be arguing for 100 years trying to argue him out of why do we need to tithe. Why? Bad idea. It's a way of thinking. And then your believing is now affected, and then your acting gets affected because when you hear a God idea, a God concept, you don't accept it. It's the wayside. The devil comes and picks it right up, and no fruit is produced. Second one was thorny ground, right? And we said this is usually poor roots. In other words, you got hardness, spiritual hardness. These are the first two grounds share this common trait of hardness, hardness of heart. You got to make sure your heart is tender, that your soil, the ground of your soul, of your heart is tilled. You got to till the ground, right? If you ever worked in a garden or a yard or a field, you know, I know my grandmother had to, we had to till that ground. You couldn't just put seed right down that hard dirt. You had to come and we had the little mule or whatever, cut up that soil, and you had the thing you pull behind it and cut it all up and make it pliable, make it good, useful. And then you get those rows right, and then you go down and then you're ready to plant. But you just throw seed out there on hard dirt. It's not going to have no roots. Amen. And so these people who have stony ground are usually offended due to pressure, pain, persecution, problems, or we say contradictory circumstances. And it influences their belief system in a negative way. So, again, we get no fruit produced. Amen. We must seek to understand where this hardness of heart comes from. This is how we can become cold or calloused or have a condition where the word of God takes no effect on us. And we never want to get in that condition, ladies and gentlemen. You and I never want to be in a position where our heart is hard. Amen? Well, we're offended. The Greek word is, immediately they're offended. The Greek word is scandalizo, which means scandalize, which means to stumble, to put a stumbling block or an impediment in a way upon which another may trip and fall. To entice to sin and to cause to fall away from the truth, following the truth. That's what being offended means. I don't follow truth anymore. I'm doing things my own way because now we call it hard-hearted and hard-headed. Amen. So we have to understand that how does our heart get hard? Well, Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 3, our hearts are hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin always deceives, takes you further than when you go, keeps you longer than you want to stay, costs you more than you want to pay. Sin always deceives. And it gets hardened when you think that I can get away with this. I can do this because I'm holding on to an idea that didn't originate with God. It originated with me or someone else or something else. And I'm holding on to it. Now my heart gets hard because I've been exposed to truth, but I'm not walking in truth. Number three, we said that there are weeds. These are the negative ideas and wrong concepts allowed to remain in your heart. Now again, who has to till your ground in your heart? Everybody say, I do. So you have to till the ground because you have to get rid of the negative ideas. They choke the word. It becomes unfruitful. See, this ground will grow the fruit of God's word, but the ground is if your ground of your heart is populated, if your spirit is populated with weeds and thorns, and they choke out God's word, then you go, I said, why are they talking crazy like that? Why are they doing that? Because you got weeds in there. Pull up the weeds. Everybody say, pull up the weeds. Because what did they do? The thorns or thistles or weeds, they choke or strangle or suffocate. They obstruct the word. That's what choke means. They strangle the word or suffocate it. They obstruct the word. They stop the word from growing and producing. And see, this condition of the heart, we said, Jesus our Lord gives us three types of the fruit of a worldly idea. What is it? He categorized these bad ideas, these wrong concepts in three words: the cares of this world. That means we got to make sure I have no burden and cares in my heart. Now, it's kind of hard, especially when you have a lot of responsibility, because this is something you may have to do on a daily basis. Cast your cares. We said the casting your cares is humility. The carrying of your cares is pride. And so we can't be a professional care carrier or caretaker. I take on the care of my family. I take on the care of my marriage. I take on the care of my job. I take on the care of people in my extended family. Then I've got all these cares. I'm loaded up. And then it's called the cares of this life or this world. It's easy to tell, ladies and gentlemen, just to put it real plain, because what do you talk about? Hallelujah. And then number two, the deceitfulness of riches. For example, if you that this is the other worldly idea or bad idea or wrong concept, other category. So if you increase financially, it creates a lessening dependence on God and a lukewarmness toward the Lord and a dependency and trust on your bank balance. That's why people act the way they do when they get the income tax return or they get a little bit of money. Now we want to run and splurge. What is it called? The deceitfulness of riches. Riches has a gravitational pull. Money has a gravitational pull. It has a gravitational pull to transfer your heart's trust from God to it. So it has that almost like a vortex, a pull. It's trying to pull you out of trusting in God to trusting in it. Oh, I got a good job now. Oh, I got a lot of money now. Oh, I got a big settlement now. Amen. Amen. And you transfer your trust. Now, how do you keep it from happening? Well, tithing. It unhooks your heart from its carnal dependency upon materialism or this world's good. You know, you tithe, get your heart off of it. Amen? Brother Copeland said he had to do that with his first jet. Now, he had all these prop jets before, airplanes before, propeller ones. But then he got his first jet, and he loved the jet. Put in his hangar. He's down there hanging around. He's polishing it, looking it over. And said, Lord, I thank you for the jet. I just love this jet. Then all of a sudden, he had to catch himself. What do we have to do? We have to do the same thing. We have to catch ourselves. He had to catch himself. He said, well, I put my love upon this thing. We are to love God, love people, but enjoy things. Because God gives us richly all things to what? Enjoy. First Timothy 6:17. And so he said, he knew what he had to do. What do you have to do? Don't think the man of God, the prophet of God, who's 80 years old today, this year, he said, had to give it away. He said, Lord, I give this airplane back to you. Because he had to get it out of his heart. What do you and I have to do? Get that stuff, get the money out of your heart. Stop looking at your bank balance, getting excited. Okay, Lord, what do I need to give away? I need to get my heart to transfer, stay stuck to you. Well, first of all, you got tithe. You got to hook it, unhook it. Then give offerings. Somebody said if you get addicted to giving, God will support your habit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so don't get caught up in that kind of stuff. Praise the Lord. And so he gave his airplane to the Lord. And the Lord said, all right, now that I have it, I want you to give it to this other minister. Called his name out to him. And he said, but I want you to overhaul the engines, both engines. And he said, Lord, you know how much it's going to cost? That's going to cost me about $300,000. He said, yeah, I know it. I can afford it. It's my aircraft. So he trusted God. God was able to overhaul it. He flew it down there and gave it to the minister. Amen. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes if you got too much stuff and you feel that stuffaholic syndrome coming upon you, you got to give stuff away. Amen. When's the last time you cleaned out your closet? Liquidated stuff. Because you get deceived with all the stuff I have. None. You never see anybody following a hearse with a full U-Haul of all the money and stuff they had accumulated on the earth. Do you see anybody do it? Anybody see a U-Haul following a hearse? They can't take it with them. Can you take it with you? No. Don't be deceived by riches. The Bible even said riches are not forever. You're not going to have all this when you transition from this life to the next. But what you do with it as God's steward is big deal. Because if you're faithful with the little, he makes you ruler over what? Much. Someone says, well, I want to be able to give $1,000. I want to be able to give, you know, well, can he trust you with 100? Can he trust you with 500? Can he trust you with 50? Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Number three. Third condition is the lust or desires of other things entering in. Because the general will of God is contained in the Word of God, the Bible. But the specific will of God for you and I is to be received by the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit. This is what? Where do I work? Now, let me tell you how the lust of other things entering in. They enter in where? Here and here. That's why you got to be careful what you hear and how you hear. Amen? If you watch TV and bad movies and all this other junk, what you putting in? Junk, garbage. And it will create an insatiable desire for other things that enter in. These three things are called extremes. The Greek word hungeri means extremes. These three categories are like extremes. They enter in. So people get lust for other things that they get. My wife and I were flipping through channel and we saw the old Wizard of Oz. Those of you who remember, I used to always highlight that one girl, Veruca. And she'd always say, I want it now. That's Willy Wonka. Willy Wonka. Willy Wonka. What did I say? Wizard of Oz? Well, you knew I said the wrong movie, too, Siski. Thanks for y'all correcting me. Appreciate it. Okay, Willy Wonka, thank you. She always has to correct me on that. That's good. But she said, I want it now. I don't care how. I want it. What? Now. I want it now. I don't care how old or young you get. If you give all your focus and attention on certain things, it's going to enter into you. So you got to make sure that you're not feeding too much on ungodly television, because it's going to create a lust for other things entering in. Amen. My son and I were talking about some matter not too long ago about people who running after stuff that don't make any sense. But why do they do that? Because they let stuff enter into them. And then when you want it, you like focused. I want this. I want this show. I want this food. I want this entertainment. I want this or that. That's taking me away from the Word of God, because it's the extreme opposite, because it's creating not love for God, it's creating lust for things. Are you listening to me? And you get so caught up in that, then you get, I mean, you can look at just about anything, and it'll take your focus away from God. Your career ambition can get that way. People who become super workaholics. And then, you know, we got people in this room who are retired. You can get so in love with retirement that you get the lusting after traveling and just living free and irresponsible. You say, well, I'm old enough, I'm grown, I can. But you can't retire from the will of God. Hallelujah. And you get to fantasize about how much I can world travel, be a world traveling jet setter. I got my summer home, winter home, and no home, and all that other stuff. Praise God. Well, you have people doing that. People moving down here from the north, and they, I'm retired. They're so sensationalized over building up for my retirement. How much money I got to have? How much is? And they get all, and then they say, "Well, I've arrived at a place where I can just quit having to deal with anybody else." That's deception. Well, praise the Lord. And then the fourth one is good ground. You hear it, receive it, understand it, and then you act on it. It produces what? 30, 60, 100 fold. Amen. You can't sow into your own heart. Why? Because the seed, the idea, the concept, the perception of reality comes from someone else. That's why you need a church. The sower sows the word. If you're the sower, you're sowing the word into somebody else. Or you're supporting the word sown, being sown into someone else. You guys know an apple tree or orange tree doesn't eat its own apples and oranges to get its food and fruit. It produces the fruit. Amen. Amen. You can water your seed that's sown into your heart through what? Confession and meditation. So we said everybody should be doubling and tripling up on their confession and meditation. Time is short. You got to produce fruit. God's not, listen, let me just put it real plain to you. God's not going to give you a merit badge when you get to heaven by how many times you came to church. No, that's religious. That's a religious idea. That's a wrong idea. Now, you need to come to church because God says don't forsake the assembly itself together. So you don't come to church just because you can get a merit badge. I'm at church. You come to church to hear the word so that you can produce fruit, that you can generate increase. Amen? God's expecting increase. He said, what'd you do with my word? What'd you do? Amen. Did you produce fruit herein my Father's glorified? John 15, that you produce much fruit. Much fruit. He said, you'll be known by, the tree is known by its fruit. An evil tree can't bring forth good fruit. A good tree can't bring forth evil fruit. a tree is known by the fruit it bears. So we got to be almost maniacal about fruit inspecting. Amen. And so we said there's this seed principle is in two parts, two ways in which we experience the quality of life and how our life is impacted by this seed principle. You got to get this, ladies and gentlemen. I know it's only a handful here today, but this is the group that needs to get it. This is the group that needs to grab a hold of it and say, this is God's concept. This is God's idea. Number one is that you are a recipient of the seed for the purpose of bearing fruit. You don't sit on your blessed assurance, receive seed, and then walk out of here and let the devil take it out of your heart. Or don't produce fruit because you didn't till the garden by getting the hardness and the fallow ground broken up, or getting the weeds and thorns and thistles out. That's your work. That's your homework. You are to receive the seed and bear fruit. Now, unfortunately, Jesus didn't put the odds in our favor when he gave the parable, because he said, understand this parable. Only one out of every four are going to produce fruit. It's almost like the Pareto principle, the 80-20 rule. 20% of the people do 80% of the contribution, do 20% of the work, do 80% of the praying. And then number two, this is the second way we experience quality of life, is the sower of the seed reaping a harvest for the purpose of reaping harvest. So what am I saying to each and every one of you? Now, these young ladies over here have a chance to start really early in life. And they can start producing fruit now and then sowing seed, reaping a harvest now. Amen. So you need to be very focused on your fruit and your harvest. Amen. What do we say the fruit is consistent of? Four different types. Generally, it is mature spirituality. That means, more souls. The fruit of more souls. Proverbs 11:30 tells us the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Number two, the fruit of mature spirituality. That means the word is producing spiritual growth and development in you. That you're not just a hearer, but a doer. You don't walk out of church thinking same old, church is normal. You walk out of here with an action plan by the Holy Spirit. What do I need to step out? What's my next step in carrying this message, this seed in my heart out? Because it's got to produce fruit, because I can get glad about it in church, but I can be sad about it tomorrow when persecution and affliction show up. Hallelujah. Mature spirituality. Amen. So you got to grow up. And then the fruit of manifested scripture. In other words, you get more skilled and more proficient in working the word. All of us that's been around for a minute, or longer than a minute, a couple of hours in this life, we ought to be saying, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm showing you how to work the word and how to make the word work for you. We ought to be experts in it, where people are following us along saying, I'm showing you how to work the word and making the word work for me. Come here, baby. Let me show you how to work the word. Especially you that are grandmas and great-grandma, you should be teaching those grandkids how to work the word. Because it's produced fruit in your own life. Amen. I show them how to manifest those scriptures. And then, of course, the fruit of material substance. You basically show them, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord provided. Look what the Lord has given me. Look what the Lord has blessed me with. It ain't about you. It's about the Lord and his grace and his goodness towards you. Amen? Amen. Because he causes you to increase. He causes you to prosper. Amen? So fruit is the product of the internal change wrought by the word of God sown into you. How much have you changed? How much have you grown since the word of God is going? Now, you guys know you get a lot of word here. But if you stay in the three different soul condition areas, it ain't going to produce nothing. 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 So if we said, okay, line up on the wall and let's check your fruit. Will we get little nibbits and nubs? Or will we have some pretty big, you know, grapes hanging down, or apples or orange, whatever the case may be. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen? Because the fruit is the internal change wrought by the word of God sown into you. So as you hear the word from this vessel, the pastor of this house, or other ministers, what is it producing? We've heard one particular guest minister year after year talk, challenge all of us, bring souls, bring somebody to church. And people would stand up, people would raise their hand up and commit. But see, commitment is easy in church. But where's the fruit of it in your life? You have to get an internal change to start believing that souls are important. Yes. That evangelism and discipleship is my mandate personally. Yeah. That I've internalized the word of God. So I'm sharing Christ and showing Christ to the people around me all the time. Amen. I'm not living a closet Christian. I'm just not waiting for people to come to church. I am going to be the church outside of this wall. Amen. I'm going to bring people. Amen. And then a harvest is the product of external change, blessings wrought by the word of God sown into somebody else. God wants you to get your harvest, and he wants you to get aggressive about reaping your harvest. And we found last week, and I'm going to give you some more points, so keep your paper out. The principle of sowing and weeping tells us that we, Galatians 6:6 again, through 10, let him that is taught in the word share all good things with him who teaches. So there's an obligation. There is a duty to share all good things with the one who's teaching you who. Teaching you what? The word. If you're getting taught the word, you need to support the preaching and teaching of the word. Amen. Where? Where you're taught. You need to be focused on how good am I supporting my teacher? Amen. We had to get out of the welfare mindset that I'm just getting everything for free and getting everything handed out down to me. No. You know, you freely receive, you freely give. Amen. That freely doesn't mean no cost. It just means that there was no strings attached and you have the freedom to do it. You had the freedom to sit here and receive, and you had the freedom now to give and support. The preaching and teaching of the word. Somebody say, glory to God. He said, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. In other words, you can't be self-deluded. You can't think this system works any kind of other way. This is one of the big four laws. He says, God will not be sneered at, or you can't thumb your nose up at God. That means mock means. He said, whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Phillips translation, we said, J.B. Phillips translation says, a man's harvest in life depends entirely upon that which he sows. Amen. For he who sows to his flesh, or like we said last week, for his flesh. In other words, you can sow, but sow for your own personal benefit and based on the impulse and influence of your flesh. I'm sowing this for my flesh. He said, you'll reap corruption, which is decay, ruin, and destruction. But he who sows for his spirit will of the spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart or stop sowing. Therefore, as we have opportunity. Everybody say opportunity. We get opportunities several times during the week. With technology, sometimes there's an opportunity all the time, 24/7. You can lay up at home and sow. Praise God. Let us do good to all men, especially those in the household of faith. And so this is the way we can use our money to act as a seed, because what we're doing is we're enabling the Word of God. We're enabling the preaching and teaching of the Word of God with our finances, with our money. Amen. And where do you do it? You do it where you're taught. That's why we say your tithes belong to the local church, where you're sitting under the pastor and being taught. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
And so when we give our tithes and offerings to enable and proliferate the preaching and teaching of the word, he counts it, God counts it as a seed sown. And you should, and I would encourage everyone to expect a harvest. Every time you sow, because you're doing it with faith. It takes faith to sow, and it takes faith to reap. Amen?
Yes.
Glory to God. And this is doing good as far as God's concerned. You're promoting his word by supporting his word. Amen?
Yes.
So we shouldn't be concerned about, you know, what we had. It says that God measures your worth by, the kingdom of God measures your worth by not what you have, but what you give. So start looking at your giving record. Giving record is $1 over the tithe. Y'all tired? Y'all ready to go home? Y'all good? Y'all can take a little bit more? And so start looking at your giving record. 10%. I'm returning that to the Lord like a rental car. That doesn't belong to me. He takes ownership over the tithe. And then $1 above the tithe is my start, my giving. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also what? Bountifully. That has more to do. It has one third to do with your money, but it has the other two thirds is your motive and your mouth. Bountiful giving has one third to do with your money, but two thirds to do with your motive and your mouth. That means your heart motive, as you purpose in your heart, so let him give. Not in your head, where? In your heart. And don't give what? Grudgingly or necessity or out of obligation. So you don't do it as a slavish duty, you do it as a devotion from your heart. You do it because you love God and you love the church. And hopefully you love your pastor.
Amen.
Amen? And you want to support. I want to make sure they're getting along good. The church is getting along good. The minister is getting along good. That's what it says. Communicate, share with your teacher. All good things.
Amen.
The best stuff shouldn't be in your house. Your best seed should be in the ground. The good ground of God's word in the kingdom. If your best giving is on your wall and in your closet, then I say we need to make some adjustments. God doesn't mind you having good stuff, great stuff, but he wants his house to be great. He doesn't want his house laid up in ruin. Somebody say glory to God. I hope the Holy Spirit's talking to all of us while we're sharing here. And so we had to understand that there was four principles that you get when you sow: principle of investment, principle of identify, you get what you sow; principle of increase, you get more than what you sown; and the principle of energy, you get later when you sow. So the principle of investment, identity, increase, and interval all go along with the seed. We have to understand this. We got to get this. If you don't sow nothing, you don't get nothing. You can say, well, where's my harvest? Well, if you didn't give anything, you got no harvest on anything. Because the harvest is the product of the external change of the Word of God working in others. That means I don't eat my seed, I sow my seed. And in a relational context, the fruit I eat is based on the Word of God working in other people's lives. So I'm eating your eaten fruit off that life. Amen. That's why we got to sow and share and support the Word of God. Because then we qualify for an harvest. We do it bountifully, we reap bountifully. We do it sparingly, we reap what? Sparingly. Does everybody see this?
Yes.
Now, some of us will need this for survival in these last days. We will need to live not by our paycheck, but by our giving. Amen. Because the Bible and one of the Old Testament prophets says that there's coming a time when the sower will be sowing in one hand and reaping with the other hand. In other words, God never forgets a seed sown, and you can sow every day and reap every day. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
And some of us got harvests that we have not reaped. So, in other words, what am I saying to you? All of us need to get aggressive about reaping our harvest. Now, there's four considerations we said about reaping your harvest. Number one, we got to be a tither. We talked about that because tithing helps protect your harvest. Malachi 3:10 and 11 tells us, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and bring food in my house, and try me not this, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven, pour you out of blessings, that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer. What is he trying to devour? Your fruit. For your sakes, and he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, And nor shall your vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Isn't that good? So tithing protects your harvest. The harvest will ripen and be available to you when you are a tither. Amen. And then the next consideration is to keep sowing seed. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. He's talking about sowing seed. Don't get weary sowing. The implication is that if you quit sowing, you don't reap a harvest. And then what is the sickle? Because the Bible says that the kingdom of God is as a man that scatters seed on the ground and should sleep and rise. In other words, don't get so caught up in where's my harvest and what do I need to do. No, use your faith to sow and use your faith to reap. And then when it's ripe and ready, the Holy Spirit will tell you, put in the sickle. That means call your harvest in. That's why we talked about Ecclesiastes chapter 11, cast your bread upon the water. If you keep on casting your bread upon the water, it'll be coming back to you on every wave. That's what God wants everyone in this room to be situationally experience. Your experience of life. You always sowing, but you're always reaping. You always reap more than what you sow. So everybody in here is going up and growing up in their harvest capacity. And there won't be room enough for us to contain it. Amen. In the Psalms, it talks about those that sow in tears will reap in joy. Bringing your harvest in with you. Somebody say, glory to God. So you must believe and receive it. Need to get aggressive about your sickle. Amen? The fourth consideration is, what is your harvest? It's not a bag. God's not raining dollar bills. See, everybody's always waiting for somebody to say, somebody's going to come up and write me a check for $100,000. Somebody's going to give me a handout. No, ladies and gentlemen, your harvest, God always opens doors and opens windows, and they're always representative throughout the scripture to opportunities. Your harvest is opportunities. Opportunities for ideas, witty inventions to come to you. George Washington Carver. Y'all know the peanut guy, right? 300-plus inventions, creative ideas from God. He said every day, 4 o'clock in the morning, 4:30 in the morning, he said God would pull the curtain back. We've been talking about revelation knowledge in the morning in class. He'd pull the curtain back, and he said he'd just show up. He was a PhD. He was a doctor. and the professor, but he said he showed up with a yellow tablet and a pencil. And then I said, the Lord, and sit before the Lord, and the Lord would pull the curtain back and said, here's another idea about the peanut. And he just write down. Created a school of entrepreneurship for businesses. Some of y'all have the spirit of entrepreneurship on you right now. These were ideas, God ideas, that bring increase, abundance into your lives. R.G. Letourneau, y'all know, probably heard the story about him, the earth mover and stuff, and they were trying to, he was a good, mechanic, machinist and whatnot, and during the war, they were trying to get him to build ships as fast as they can, but the way they were doing it were, they were messing up the bolts, and they would build it, you know, with the bottom of the boat, the ship down, and they try to fasten all this metal and stuff in there. And then when they turn it over and put it in the water, those bolts would just fall apart, pop apart. And so he's struggling, and they struggling, so he went to the Lord. And the Lord, same thing, went to the Lord in the morning. Why? Because he's a tither. He's a tither and a giver. Matter of fact, his testimony was when he, the caterpillar, when at the end of his life, he was recorded as living off 10%, but giving 90%. It's millions. God would give him ideas in the night, and he'd wake up and draw all these earth-moving equipment. But in this case, it was ships. And so God told him, pull the curtain back in. Revelation. He said, I'm going to show you how to build a ship a day. And so he wrote it down, how to build a ship a day. Ship in a day. Became famous. He fixed the boat problem, but he understood how to produce more efficiently and more effectively about shipbuilding. He didn't have to go to, he didn't go to school for it. He got it from the school of the Holy Spirit. But because he was a tither, God gave him a door, a window of opportunity, and an idea came into him. Not a worldly idea, it was a God idea. Are you listening to me? What's he got waiting for you? To take you to the next level, to 100,000, 200,000, half a million. God got 7-10 ways to make you a millionaire by the end of the week. And he didn't have to even break a sweat. Hallelujah. But see, sometimes opportunities are dressed in overalls and they look like work. Because we have to see them first, but then we have to seize them. Somebody say, glory to God. We have to see them, but we also have to seize them. And when you got a mentality that, well, I'm done, I'm just checking out. Well, you checking out, then that's the wrong attitude. Somebody say, glory to God. So these are some rules to reaping a harvest. Let me give you to you. I'm going to give them real fast. Number one, reaping is not automatic. Because the harvest is an opportunity. But God's not going to say, go get it, go get it, go get it, go get it. There's a door, there's an open door, there's an open window. He's not going to say, go get it, go get it, go get it. What's the scripture say? Proverbs 10:5. Write that scripture up and down. Proverbs 10:5. A wise youth harvests in summer, but one who sleeps during harvest is a disgrace. And God says too many people have been sleeping during harvest. He says, I've got harvest on every seed that you've sown. You need to get up and get busy. And anybody will tell you, on peach trees, peach orchards, orange groves, apple tree, whatever, harvest time is a busier time than sowing time. And he said in his word, the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Nobody wants to labor and go to work. We got only 7% people in San Antonio that actually go to church, that say they go to church. Now, probably on a given Sunday, there's probably half of that, 3.5% or 4% in church on Sunday. There's a 93% harvest out there. We got to see it, though, and we got to seize it. We got to enable the Word of God to get out to through every available voice. We got to pump the Word of God out through radio. I know we like listening to music, but we need to get the Word. The Word is what changes people. The Word is what brings life to people. The Word of God. Amen. And we've got to get the Word out on social media. We got to get the Word out. Come on now, through the internet. We got to get the Word out through television. We got to get the Word out through different venues and different facets. We got to get the Word out by walking and talking and being the Word and telling people about the Word and how good God is. Amen. And that Jesus is Lord. Amen. And we need to show people that God's a good God. He gives harvest, and amen. So it's not automatic. Number two, reaping requires faith. Ecclesiastes 11:4, farmers who wait for perfect weather to plant, if they watch every cloud, they never harvest. Think about a farmer. Say, it's raining outside. Or it looks like it's going to rain, so they don't sow. And then they don't reap. He told us in Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time to plant and time to pluck up what's planted. It's overtime for many of us in this room to pluck up what's planted. Amen. Number three, tithing protects our harvest. We talked about that, Malachi 3:10-11. Number four, know when to reap. Jesus said in his word, as you look around right now, you wouldn't say that there's about 4 months to be time to harvest. Well, I'm telling you to open your eyes and take a good look at right in front of you. The Samaritan fields are ripe. It's harvest time. That's John 4:35 in the Message translation. The fields are ripe. It's harvest time. Everybody say, it's harvest time. Number five, know where to reap. God told him to stay right there. Where? In Gerar. Genesis 26:12. Isaac planted crops in the land that took a huge harvest. And God blessed him, and the man got richer and richer by the day until he was very wealthy. This was during a time of famine. That's in the Message Bible, Genesis 26:12. So a lot of times we think the Philistines were sitting around saying it's too hard to sow, and Isaac sowed in the land of famine, and in the same year reaped 100-fold. And if you study Gerar was a tough land. Irrigation and harvesting condition weren't very good in most of the seasons. But during harvest seasons, it was a little better, but it wasn't even harvest time. But he reaped the same year 100-fold. Somebody say, glory to God. Number six, leave nothing behind. Jesus said in Mark 10:30, they'll get back 100 times as much as they had. So we got to get aggressive. Don't just think about getting by. Now, those are the rules of reaping. Now you stirred up about reaping, and then you got to call in your harvest. You sow your seed. You get aggressive about reaping. You don't give up on your seed. You keep the weeds out of your harvest. You water your seed of your harvest with the Word of God and meditating, and then you put in the sickle, and you command the harvest to come. So you can call your harvest in. Amen. Amen. You don't do it like haphazardly. You call it in. You stay focused on this. This is the serious business of the kingdom that we need to take care of. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Would you all stand, please? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Anything else, Lord? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want, by permission, by your permission and the permission of the Holy Spirit, I want everyone in this room to be talking about their fruit and about their harvest. Amen.